Hello, I'm Sky Matsuhashi, founder of SmartPokerStudy.com, the place for poker players who are always striving to be better today than they were yesterday. Poker people, you're missing out if you skip episode 66, where I taught you basic hand reading and how understanding percentage form can lead to assigning more accurate preflop ranges. Hey, poker people, thanks for downloading the episode, thanks for your Patreon support, and thanks for sharing the show, because that is how we grow. Oh boy, the Colossus is just a few days away. I'll be there soon in Las Vegas, and if you want a part of my winnings, and I am talking free roll winnings, just join the Smart Poker Study Weekly Boost or support me on Patreon. Details for getting in on the free roll action are in today's show notes. Oh, and I just said weekly boost, and that reminds me, of course, that I haven't officially made the announcement yet, but here it is. I'm discontinuing the weekly newsletter and changing the format and the name to the weekly boost. My goal with the weekly boost is to give you an exclusive poker or study strategy piece every single week. And that's it, really. No more recaps of new podcasts or articles or reviews, nothing like that. Because as you already know, a lot of you are subscribers to the podcast in iTunes, Stitcher, or Google Play Music or another podcatcher. So you get all of those there. And if you want new articles, I always talk about those within the podcasts anyway. So as long as you're listening and subscribed, you'll, find out what's going on every week. So, the boost is simply a way for me to help you boost your game with a weekly exclusive. If you might find something like this useful, please go to today's show notes at smartpokerstudy.com/pod68 and sign up in the sidebar. Alrighty, it's hand reading time. Today's pod is the third in an 8 podcast series all dedicated to strategy topics that Splitsuit puts forth in his incredible course called The Hand Reading Lab. The reason for this series is to expose all of you to the importance of hand reading and to give you insights into how you can do it successfully. If you want to learn more about the Hand Reading Lab, and I really, really recommend that you do, visit splitsuit.com/HRL for more info, and stay tuned to the end of the podcast for the special deal that Splitsuit and I are offering all of you who purchase the Hand Reading Lab with my special offer code SMART. So today we're discussing Flopzilla, which is a huge part of the Hand Reading Lab. It's something that Splitsuit he's been a really big proponent of this for a long time. If you don't know Flopzilla, then you're in for a mind-blowing episode. Flopzilla is a range analysis software that's designed to quickly figure out how hard a hand or a range hits a board. This is the software that I use whenever I tell you something like, an average hand only hits the flop 35% of the time. Or I might say something like, my pocket jacks has 65% equity versus ace jack suited, The software itself made a huge impact in my understanding of equities and in the maths of poker, but its use in hand reading has revolutionized my game. And I struggled a bit with this episode because Flopzilla, it's really a super visual thing. It's really tough to discuss how to use Flopzilla in an audio medium like a podcast. So today's episode will be half audio and half video. The first part, which is audio only, and you're listening to it right now, it'll be covering the benefits of Flopzilla and the types of study that I use it for. The second part will be a video where I demonstrate hand reading with Flopzilla. Now, you can see the video in today's show notes, or you can listen and watch the podcast on my YouTube channel, which you can find at www.smartpokerstudy.com/YouTube. The most recent video on my channel is this podcast with the audio and video components combined. And while you are there on YouTube, please subscribe to my channel. I'd really appreciate it. I release strategy videos there as well as every podcast in video form if you like to consume your content in YouTube. So let's get to it today. Make sure to hit the show notes for today's episode at www.smartpokerstudy.com/pod68 for everything I discussed today and to sign up for the weekly boost. Now here it is, today's podcast mission. My mission for today is to teach you the benefits that I've gained from using Flopzilla, as well as show you how I use it for the very specific task of hand reading an opponent. Here are the questions I will answer in today's podcast. Question number one, how has Flopzilla benefited my game? And number two, how can I use Flopzilla to practice hand reading an opponent? All All right, so that first question is, how has Flopzilla benefited my game? And there are so many ways. I'll just run through my list quickly, then I'll hit each one individually and give you some explanations. The major benefits are range visualization, range and board interaction, future cards and effects on equity, counting combos, and utilizing the stats and filters. I will have screenshots of everything I discuss right now as well, so if you visit the show notes, you'll see those screenshots there, which would be helpful, especially if you've never used Flopzilla before. So the first way that Flopzilla really has benefited me is through range visualization. So constant use of Flopzilla has helped me to better visualize ranges. With the nifty matrix that it has and all the practice I've put in, I'm able to conjure in my mind what a 5% or 15% or 30% range, what it really looks like. With the ability to visualize ranges, I have a better idea of what my opponents are likely playing given their pre-flop actions, and I can keep this range in my thoughts longer as the hand progresses. And I'm so much better with the percentage form now because of Flopzilla as well. And remember, I discussed percentage form back in episode 60 and 66. So this is a key skill for online players who use HUDs, which relate info to you in percentage form, but it helps live players as well. If you'd estimate a player opens the button maybe 30% of the time, or your HUD stat tells you as much, you know he's likely opening any pocket pair, ace 5 suited or better, and ace 8 off or better, every suited 8 or better, which is like, you know, king 8, queen 8, those things. So if I say 8 or better, that just means all the better cards in the 8, and every offsuit 9 or better, along with 5-4 suited or better and 6-4 suited or better. So that is a ton of cards, but being able to visualize what that looks like in my mind really helps me to remember it better. And, of course, my visualization skills aren't as good as I'd like them to be, but I find the more I use them, the better I'm getting. So the second benefit that I've really gotten from Flopzilla is range and board interaction. So until I used Flopzilla, I had no idea how to calculate how often a range of hands hits a board. Sure, I could count combos, but that's super time-consuming. And it is good practice, and I'll get to combo counting in a little bit as well. So let me ask you a question. How often does the 30% range that I just mentioned hit a Jack 10-7 rainbow board? By hitting the board, I mean top pair or better, and open in a straight draw or pair plus draw. The answer is actually 50%. Yep, that 30% range hits the Jack 10-7 rainbow board 50% of the time. So that board is actually really good for that range, and the reason this hits so frequently is because the 30% range consists of a ton of Broadway and middle cards, which of course hits this type of board, you know, Jack 10-7, Broadways and middle cards. So practice like this has helped me to see the type of boards that different ranges hit strongly, which helps me to avoid costly flop C bets or check raises or donk bets that won't elicit the fold that I'm looking for. So the third way that I've found a lot of benefit from Flopzilla is in thinking about future cards and those cards' effects on equity. So another great aspect of Flopzilla is seeing how different flops affect equities, but also what future cards can do to it. So pocket aces versus the 30% range and the Jack 10-7 rainbow flop, the pocket aces has 74% equity. Even though that 30% hits 50% of the time, the pocket aces is still best, you know, and it has 74% equity. And that's great to know. But what do you think the equity is on a turn queen? What about a turn three? So think about it for a second and shout out your answer. Pocket aces has 74% equity on the flop, but the turn queen makes it... well, it drops it to just 72% equity. Not a big drop, but it does, that queen helps that 30% range much more than it hurts it. But what about a turn three? So pocket aces has 74% equity on the flop. The turn comes a three, and that makes it, shout out your answer, increase to 81%. So that 30% range misses that turn three a whole heck of a lot, and it helps our pocket aces. So now, we also know that future cards can be good for us or our opponent, but we often don't think about it in the hand, you know? But working with Flopzilla gets you to start thinking about this kind of stuff much more often, which helps you to develop plans for future cards. If you know what helps your range and hurts your opponents on the next street, or vice versa, you can make plans for the cards that come on those future streets. So the fourth way that Flopzilla has really benefited me is in counting and understanding combos. So I talk a lot about percentages and percentage form in poker. Well, that's well and good for someone like me who understands percentages and can quickly convert this to actual hands or a range of hands. But Flopzilla does something really cool, and it displays ranges and statistics in combo form. For example, that 30% range consists of 281 combos once we remove the board, you know, the Jack 10 7 cards, and our pocket aces. So this now hits the flop 53% of the time, which is 148 hands. And for lots of people, these hard numbers are easier for them to understand. If you think 53%, maybe that's difficult. But for some people, 148 out of 281 combos, those hard numbers could be easier. So looking at analyses in combo form helps us to spot humongo frequency issues in our game. So let's say we get to the flop with a player. We c-bet 90 combos of hands that we have, but he check shoves and we only call his check shove with sets, you know, with a flopped set. Well, for any non-paired flop, there are only 9 combos of sets, which means we're calling 9 out of 90 combos that we c-bet, or only 10% of the time, which means we fold 90% of the time. His check shove only needs to work maybe 50% or less, but it's working 90% of the time. He's printing money by shoving 100% of the time versus us in this spot. So finding and correcting these frequency issues can plug many holes in our game. Alright, so the fifth way that Flopzilla has really benefited me is through utilizing the statistics and filters section. So you'll definitely need to go to the show notes to take a look at this if you don't have any experience with Flopzilla. But the statistics section shows you how to narrow the range as you progress in the hand. Within the stats section, it will show you the percentage of the range that hit a specific hand, whether that hand is like top pair, a set, a flush draw, or no made hand, or whatever, you know. You can begin to narrow down the range by filtering for these specific hands. So, and once again, I know this sounds a little difficult if you don't know Flopzilla, so go to the show notes and please check out a screenshot as you listen to this. It might help you, it should help you understand. So, with that 30% range and the Jack 10 7 rainbow example, and we've got pocket aces, let's say our opponent only continues beyond the flop with top pair or better, and open in a straight draw, and a pair plus a draw. Well, from the screenshot in the show notes, we see that he only continues with 148 combos of his original range. The software removes hands from this range, and, you know, the hands that don't meet the criteria that we set of top pair or better, open in a straight draw, or pair plus draw. I'm sure you can see how valuable this aspect of Flopzilla is to hand reading. You don't have to mark hands off on a piece of paper, or painstakingly consider each one in Poker Stove and manually remove them from the matrix. This absolutely simplifies hand reading, and I'll get to an example of doing that in just a bit. So those are the five big benefits that Flopzilla has given me. There are many more aspects that Flopzilla has, but you'll have to practice with it to find those out, or watch some videos on Flopzilla in YouTube or something, you know? And for a great video on Flopzilla that Splitsuit created, just visit the show notes where I've got his video called How to Use Flopzilla Embedded. It's about 34 minutes long, and it'll teach you everything you need to get started on using this fabulous software. Alrighty, so before I get to the hand reading example, let me tell you about one way you can support me and this show. Patreon is a website where you can support an artist for the content that they create, and you can find me there. By supporting me on Patreon, you'll keep me up and running, and you can get some exclusive poker strategy content that I won't deliver anywhere else. There are different levels of support, and with each level comes different rewards. You can get over-the-top podcast shoutouts, early release podcasts, extra patron-only podcasts and videos, copies of my future ebooks, and more just for supporting me with a small monthly contribution. There are also some crazy goals that I've set. Help me hit these monthly goals, and you'll hear more strategy content in the form of more questions answered, longer podcasts, or even more frequently scheduled podcasts. Who knows, with your help, I might be podcasting 5 days per week. And remember, supporting me on Patreon could lead to you having a free roll 1 or 2% of my Colossus winnings. The first place prize is guaranteed at $1 million, so you could be looking at $10,000 or even $20,000 just for a small part of your bankroll every month. Please visit patreon.com/smartpokerstudy for more details on supporting me through Patreon, or hit the link in the show notes. So the next question I wanted to answer as part of my mission is, how can you use Flopzilla to practice hand reading an opponent? So now begins the video portion of the podcast. You can listen to this if you've just downloaded the MP3, but I know you'll get a lot more out of it if you watch the video in the show notes. Just go to smartpokerstudy.com/pod68 to see the video. Let's begin. Alrighty, so as you can see, we've got Flopzilla open right here. We've also got the hand history and a calculator. Of course, all the accoutrements you need to run some hand reading. So let's take a look at the hand right here. So, the hand was sent in by a listener, Old Faithful. 100 BBs effective. The hero in the middle position, with aces, the clubs and the heart, opens to three big blinds. Everyone folds. The button calls, and the Old Faithful estimated his calling range to be 30%. And he said this in the email, you know. And so, for hand reading, remember, hand stood for history, assign, narrow, and decide. So let's go in and get started. We'll read through the rest in just a sec, but right here. So we are in the MP. We open to three big blinds with pocket aces. Actually, let's enter. We said first he has estimated 30% calling range. So let's go ahead and sign a 30% calling range right here. That's what it looks like. But let's enter our cards here. Now, he did just call, so we, of course, want to take out some hands that would probably 3-bet us right there. He didn't give much beyond just, you know, he estimated 30% calling range for the guy. So we're at 26%. Well, let's take these out first real quick. 27%. Let's say he calls with some aces. Let's toss in another suited king just for good measure. Okay, let's say this is the range, 30% calling range that the guy has. We got our pocket aces. And let's see here. So first is the history. So that's all the history that we have with the guy. Next is assign a range. So based on his pre-flop actions in the big blind, he just called us. And so this is what we assign the guy right here. Next up, the flop is 6.5 BBs. And it comes a jack of hearts, 10 of clubs, 7 of spades. So jack of hearts, 10 of clubs, 7 of spades. So you can see right here, our aces have 74% equity. Not too shabby. You know, we can definitely go for value against this guy. And the range itself only has 26% equity. So, of course, the next step is start to narrow the range based on how the hand progresses right there. So let's see what happens on the flop. It comes jack 10-7. The big blind checks. The hero bets 4.5 BBs, so roughly two-thirds-ish pot, right or so, or right around there. And the big blind just calls. So what kind of hands would check call this here? This is where we turn to the statistics section. I think a lot of top pair hands would make this call. Some middle pairs, let's see what those are. You could see they are all the different 10 hands. I think a lot of those might call, especially if he puts us on maybe two overs. And maybe, an under pair like pocket sixes or eights or something. That's just throwing out the C-bet. So he might call with some of those middle pairs right there. Weak pairs, let's get rid of those. Let's just say he's out of position. He'll ditch those. Of course, he'll call with the open and the straight draw. And there's a lot of gut shots that would probably call at least one street right here. So let's put the gut shots in his range. And gut shot plus a pair. Let's say those he would call to. Over cards. Nah, not really any overcards. We do have the open end straight draw, so he'll be calling with the king queen. Ace queen might call as well, so I guess we could put some overcards in. So altogether, when he check calls, we're thinking these are the hand strengths that he's calling with. And out of his 281 combos in the preflop range, we think he's continuing with 214 combos right there. So against this continuation range, pull it back. You can see it in it grays out the hands that are not in the continuation range. We now have 69% equity. So our equity has dropped based on his call. Not that much, not enough to be scary or anything. So let's go to the turn. So we decide what to do, of course. The turn is 15.5 BBs in the pot. It comes a three of diamonds. So the three of diamonds comes right here. And so just that card in itself increases our equity back up to 78% because that three misses most of his range. You can see we got rid of a lot of threes in his range from that pre-flop action there. Pre-flop and flop action. We got rid of a ton of threes from his range. So this really doesn't help him much at all. So let's see what the action is. Big blind checks. Hero bets 12 BBs, which is roughly 3/4 pot. But then the big blind raises. He makes a min raise to 24 BBs. And we decide to call right here. Now, when he makes that check min raise, I often feel like that's either a really cheap steal, trying to go for that cheap steal on the turn, or he is just going for value and trying to build that pot. So you could see, we could just jump ahead real quick. With that raise and our call, it makes it 63.5 BB pot. And the big blind has 68.5 BBs in his stack. So he has roughly a pot size bet behind. So that min raise is perfect to build a pot for a river shove right here. So let's see what he's building the pot with. Is he building the pot with top pair? You know, he might be building the pot with some, with maybe a top pair plus a gutter kind of a hand, but I would say not. Let's kind of narrow his range down quite a bit. I think top pairs would just be check calling. I mean, he's a check caller. He check called that flop. I think because top pairs have a bit of showdown equity, I don't think they're really check raising like that to try to build the pot. Because remember, check raising is basically just building the pot. You know, you want more chips in. It's either building the pot or a steal, a cheap steal. So I'm going to consider this right here just building the pot. So he's got a hand that he wants to build the pot with, you know, maybe an open and a straight draw if the guy's just gutsy and wants to try to push us off of our hand, but still have some equity. So I'm good with keeping the open and a straight draw in, which we can see that is the queen nine, the king nine, and the king queens over there on the left, those purple hands. And he doesn't have any overpairs. We took those out pre-flop, you know, the queens and better. Now, plenty of middle pairs, but I don't think any of those are check raising. Maybe possibly as a bluff, but I think we can get rid of those there. But two pairs, I could see those check raising because, hey, he has our pocket aces, kings, or queens, whatever we might have opened with pre, he has those beat. And of course, sets and straights are going to do the check raise action there. They could check raise for even more to try to get value, but that's a decent check raise you know, to get the pot as big it is as it is for a river shove. So I'm going to say that he's continuing in the hand, check raising with those. Now, you can see our equity, let's see what it was before, from 78% drops down to 60% now that we narrow his range down even further. So you can see that he started with, it was 281 combos before that 3 came out. 281 combos. He now only has 70 combos in his range. So we've actually taken out 75% of his range based on his actions, which is pretty good. You know, the more hands you can take out from the opponent's range, the easier our decisions are. The easier our decisions are. So the river comes a queen of spades, but there's 63.5 BB pot. The big blind shoves 68.5 BBs. Hero decides to fold, and the BB shows something. So let's see here. He decides to shove on the queen, queen of spades. So the queen of spades hit. What is he just shoving with here? Is he shoving with any top pairs? Right there, the king, queen, because that was an open and a draw, and then now suddenly hit a top pair. Is he shoving with those, or is he just check calling, or even perhaps check folding with those kind of crappy busted draws right there? Because you can think all of these top pair hands now are ones that were draws on the flop and turn, and now they turn into a little bit of showdown equity. So he might be check calling with those. I kind of doubt he's shoving with those top pairs. Now, I think he's probably shoving with any two pair hands, which is basically just the Jack 10 because we eliminated other ones on the flop. He's shoving with his sets and he's shoving with his straight as well. I really think that's all that he's shoving with right there. So if we say that this is what he's making his donk lead on the river, donk shove on the river, we now have 0% equity because our pocket aces loses to, of course, two pair or better right there. So I think this is a fold in my estimation. It's a fold. And the hero, Old Faithful, does decide to fold right here. Maybe it was just too scary of a board for him. Maybe there's too many two pairs in his mind, whatever Old Faithful was thinking. So we ended up with just 38 hands out of the initial 280. So we only kept 14% of hands in his range. We were able to eliminate 86% of his hands based on his actions, which is great. So let's see what he had, see if it falls within. How do you do this here? What happened? Oh, there it is. 9 of hearts, 8 of hearts. So it looks like he had 9-8 suited, which fell within our range right here. So we assessed him accurately, and you can see the 9-8 just flopped a miracle, the nut straight on a really dry board. And he went for max value extraction by just playing it slow playing the flop, doing the min raise on the turn to build the pot, and trying to shove, probably with the intent of making it look super bluffy. But we didn't fall for it, and he ended up showing the big blind show that 9-8 suited. So that is a hand-reading example for y'all. I hope you enjoyed it. Alrighty, as you can see, Flopzilla is super useful for hand-reading opponents and for changing variables and seeing how equities can change as hands progress. I hope you got a lot from that, and if you'd like to see more of those, stay tuned for my special offer.
Challenge!
Here's my challenge to you for this episode. If you've got Flopzilla already, do some hand-reading practice with showdown hands that you've played and that you don't remember. See how accurate you are in your final assessment of the opponent's range. If you don't have Flopzilla yet, either get the hand-reading lab that comes with a license to use Flopzilla with my offer code SMART, or go to www.flopzilla.com to download it for a free 7-day trial and do some hand-reading practice on the hizzy. Now it's your turn to take action and Scooby-Dooby-Doo something positive for your poker game.
Now get it on.
So to recap, I went over the major benefits that I've received from using Flopzilla, and once again, those were range visualization, hard word to say, range and board interaction, future cards and effects on equity, counting combos, and utilizing the statistics and filters. I also took you from start to finish through a hand sent in by a podcast listener. If you ain't already there, head on over to the show notes at smartpokerstudy.com/pod68 for everything mentioned today, and to sign up for the weekly boost for poker strategy exclusives that will take your game up a notch. And if you're interested in purchasing or learning about the hand reading lab, visit splitsuit.com/HRL and use offer code SMART in lowercase to receive the full course. And as a special bonus just for you, Splitsuit is throwing in his popular video series called Playing 3-Bet Pots. And I am also offering a bonus hand reading webinar on Saturday, July 9th at 10 a.m. Pacific time for all who purchase the hand reading lab using my offer code SMART. Just send me your purchase confirmation and you'll be enrolled. I know it's a long way off, but it's the weekend following the end of this 8-episode course, so it's a perfect time to demonstrate some hand reading and answer your questions. I hope to see you there. Thank you so much for listening today. I love feedback, so hit me with it through the show notes, or you can also send an email to sky@smartpokerstudy.com, tweet me @smartpokerstudy, or post in the Facebook group at smartpokerstudy.com/discuss. And please send me your questions, your leaks, or ideas for podcast topics through all the channels just mentioned. And a huge shout out to Big T and Danzoid24 for supporting me by purchasing Poker Tracker 4 through my affiliate account. Just hit up smartpokerstudy.com/pokertracker4, and that's one word with the number 4 at the end, to find out more and to download a free 30-day trial. Alrighty, poker people, be sure to come back this Friday for another Q&A where I answer some of your ab-fab questions. And next week, in episode number 70, I'll continue the Hand Reading Lab series, and I'll discuss thinking about your own ranges and creating them based on different scenarios, like your responses to 3-bets or what range you'd continue with versus a flop C-bet. Of course, word of mouth is the best advertising, and I thank you for sharing this show with other poker peeps. It only grows with your help, so I'm asking you to share it with someone who will get value from it, just as you do. Until next time, study smart, play much, and make your next session the best one yet.